Now the daddies don't want children, or at most just one or two. I remember how they used the old church house for a school. Now the schools won't let a Bible pass inside their chilly doors. How the world has changed in only one generation. They say it's for the better, but they know it's growing cold, and salvation is slipping through their fingers. As they turn their backs and close their ears to what the prophets all have told. I remember when the babies were delivered by the doctors. Now the doctors all are surgeons, making doors where doors don't go. I remember when the children were instructed by their parents. Now the TV is the parent, teaching violence and crime. Oh, how the world has changed in only one generation. They say they know it's growing cold, and salvation is slipping through their fingers. As they turn their backs and close their ears to what the prophets all have told.
Get back on the air, but anyway, we're doing the program now, so won't be as long because I only have an hour and a half left, but at least we'll have an hour and a half together here tonight. So, and hopefully you'll get that you'll get to hear it later if you don't get it tonight and you already went out of there thinking there wasn't going to be a program. Well, it's through really no fault of mine. It's that Blog Talk started something up that is kind of complicated and it's not clear to start your next episode, and it meant start next week, and I have no idea what I thought it was starting now. So anyway, I was open up with a little bit of news, then we're going to pray and have a word for tonight, a little bit of deliverance. I don't have time to do all the news that I normally do, but Benny Johnson, Bill Johnson's wife of Bethel Church, he says that the Passion Translation is a better translation than the KJV, than the King James Version. Okay, lady. Well, you can believe what you want, but I don't have to agree with you on that, so I don't. But anyway, PBS staff attorney Michael Beller says that it was great to see COVID spike in the red states because hopefully Trump supporters will get it. And is calling for the children of Republicans, all children of Republicans, to be put in re-education camp. That's right. That's, yeah. Anyway, for those of you tuning in, I got kicked off here tonight because of some new thing that it keeps coming up on my screen to try to get me out of there. And it's totally new, never done that before. So we've got a little problem here with the Blog Talk Radio tonight. But at least we'll have an hour and a half together from now till 8 o'clock. So we got things up and going again and had to delete the old program altogether and start up a new one. So we're doing news now. AOC calls for government commission to dispel misinformation from media. And yes, anyone who does it, who doesn't agree with her, and the Dems, right, they're going to be dispelled. They're going to be the misinformation that she wants out of there. Yeah, okay. Now, we're living in some strange times here, folks. I'll tell you what. You know, Pastor Bob Rogers, which I heard a number of times, good pastor, I think, but whom I know of, you know, in early, he's in Evangel World Prayer Center in Louisville, Kentucky. He's been criticized and condemned by a number of pastors for cursing those who stole the 2020 election from President Trump. That's right. He prayed, Father, those that have lied, those that have stolen this election, those that have cheated, I place the curse of God upon them. Now, this church he pastored, by the way, has 9,000 members in Louisville, Kentucky. And he goes on to say, I curse you with weakness in your body. I curse you with poverty. I curse you with the worst year you've ever had in the name of the Lord. Now, that's what Pastor Bob Rogers did. And a number of pastors criticized him for that. Well, you know, there's a lot of prayers like that in the book of Psalms. So if you read the book of Psalms, you'll see lots of prayers like that. So it's not so far off like they want him to believe. I mean, want him to believe about himself that he's so bad. You know, there was an abortionist. He quit after a dream he had. He kept seeing these children. The children that he once killed in his abortion. That's right. In 26 years, Stojan had aborted approximately 48,000 babies, including his own relatives in a communist Eastern European nation. And in his dream, he kept seeing a beautiful field full of children from 4 years old to 24 who were playing and laughing, and when they saw him, they ran from him in fear, and he had this dream every night. And so he quit being an abortionist, and he suffered for it, and because it was a common nature, but he's now involved in the pro-life movement in his country, and bold for Jesus, or bold for God, I guess he might be a Catholic, but anyway. Yeah, so Forbes magazine, it warns companies that look at Forbes not to hire any ex-Trump administration members. Okay. All right. Well, National Guard members are authorized to use lethal force in defense of the Capitol on Inauguration Day, and FBI director is claiming warns of clatter of violence mentioned. Huh, well, wonder who's going to do this violence anyway, if it really happened. Well, we know that that's been warned, but that's just some kind of a setup for people who would do that. But I don't know anything about it, so I'm not going to comment too much on that. So anyway, I'm going to get into this. We're going to pray now and get into the Word of God and pray, Lord, that he will redeem things that seem to be going against what a lot of people have believed and heard from God, and even Kat Kerr, which I don't agree with her at all, but she says that God is going to drive supernaturally storm Capitol Hill, and Biden will be kicked out of the office. That's what Kat Kerr said she heard from God, but I don't know about that woman, because she's had some very strange stuff that kind of way out there, but that's what she said. So, Father, we just thank you in Jesus' name for turning things around in this country for your glory, that this will not be a nation that is lost, a nation that is, lives in deception, a nation that goes down as another fallen nation in history to communism and socialism and self-destruction. Lord, we pray for a revival in this country, a renewal, a moving of your spirit, the moving of the Spirit of God in this country, Father, before, Lord, it's too late. And we know the time is coming, Lord, that the tribulation will start and we will go into the times like we've never seen. But Lord, unless it's time for that to happen now, Father, we pray for grace for America, Lord, grace to turn things around, Father. Lord, we just thank you for that, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for exposing the darkness from the rooftop, Father, in the name of Jesus, that they would not prevail with the evil plans that have been planned for the change that they want to bring to pass, Father. We pray it will not be successful in Jesus' name. And thank you, Lord, that righteousness will prevail, godliness will prevail, and not this wickedness that Satan has planned for our future if he could get away with it. But in Jesus' name, we just thank him that he's not going to get away with it, and we send out the warring mighty angels of God to minister and to change things that Satan has set in motion for the demise of the people of this country. In Jesus' name, and we cover this broadcast with the blood of Jesus right now. Thank you that you'll have your way tonight. And we just thank you that, Lord, this is not going to be able to happen again to us. In Jesus' name, we cover this broadcast with the blood of Jesus and pray that, Lord, you will get the word out that you want out tonight, Father, in spite of the blockages that we had and that still keeps coming up on my screen trying to get me to abort the program somehow. And I'm just going to exit out every time it comes up, Lord. And I just thank you, Lord, for just anointing me to preach, to get my mind off of these things that have interrupted the program tonight onto the more important things of your word and what you want to see accomplished today. In Jesus' name, I give you the glory. I give you the praise. I thank you for a hedge of protection around your believers today, around those of us who listen and are part of this program. Thank you for protecting us. Thank you that the angel of the Lord encamp round about us, Lord, that we can dwell in your house, Lord, and be in your presence, Father. And the enemy will not prevail against us in Jesus' name. We thank you for that. We thank you, Lord, for the blood covering, the blood covenant, and the position that we have in you, Lord. Hallelujah. So, Lord, we give you praise and glory now, and thank you for the time we have together now in Jesus' name, that we commit it to you. Amen. Praise God. Depending on the head. Depending on the head. We're going to open up tonight Ephesians 4:1. Let's go over there to Ephesians 4:1. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. And then we'll jump down to verse 5. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. Verse 16. Says, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body, unto the edifying of itself in love. You know what? If a person's head were separated from his body, what would happen? Would you say at the least, at the very least, they would have some serious problems on their hands, right? I mean, you could get by without a foot or a finger, an arm, a leg, even both arms and legs, but not without your head, right? I mean, you don't see any disabled people walking around without a head, do you? I mean, that would be a strange sight, wouldn't it? I haven't seen anybody like that. Have you? Yeah, what's the result of being without a head? The result is death, right? I mean, to the degree that one is separated from the head, That's the degree that the person dies. And in New Testament, we the Christian, we the believers are the body, and Jesus Christ is the head of the body. And we're attached to Jesus, our head, and he's attached to us, his body. And Ephesians says how it should work. But, you know, that's ideal, right? But here's now here's the problem, the way it often works, right? So let's go to Colossians 2:19 and look at this. Colossians, over two books here, 2:19. It says here in verse 19, and not holding the head, from which all the body by joints and bands having nourishment ministered and knit together increases with the increase of God. Increases with the increase of God. Did you see that? That's how it's supposed to work, but it's not working that way necessarily always, see? And Paul, by the Holy Spirit, is telling us not to allow anything, the spirit of religion, the ways of the world, money, friends, enemies, false teaching, family, all kinds of other things which we could name here, to keep us from holding on to the head, to keep us from staying connected to the head, or in modern English, the neck bone staying attached to the head bone. And without the head, there would be no life to the body. Therefore, there would be no growth in the body, no power in the body. And it simply means in the Greek, kritēo, means holding on to your head. So the problem is simply too many Christians losing their head over things. That's right. How many Christians today have lost their head over things in life? They have. And the body does the thinking. That's how we lose our head, because the body starts doing the thinking instead of the head, the spirit, and we live by our senses rather than Jesus Christ, the head. And when we do, we're selfish, which means self-centered, body-centered, lust-centered, meaning any kind of lust, whether it be for pleasure, food, money, opposite sex or same sex or whatever, self-gratification of any kind. And so we see here in 2:19 of Colossians, the only way we're really going to be blessed and prosper and be happy and accomplish anything lasting and have increase is with the increase that comes from God, from the head. Jesus is the head. We are the body. And so when Christians wonder where their nourishment and increasing is gone, well, it's because they've lost their head over something. Right? When Christians lose their head, they worry. They're insecure. They have pity parties. They cuss. They drink. They drug. They fret. They fume. They get religious and they fuss and they just get into do's and don'ts and legalism, and they go around in circles like anything would without a head, you know, without their head. And they starve. Spiritually, they're starving because they're separated from our head. And we have nothing from which to receive the nourishment that the body needs. And folks, when we're like that, we're in sad shape, man. We're in sad shape. So what's the solution? What's the solution to that? Well, we need to stay connected, you know, but it's not quite that simple. Not quite that simple. However, we need to stay connected. So we need to understand a few things, starting with number one. God does not see us the way that we see ourselves. He sees us identified with and in Christ Jesus our Lord. We don't always see ourselves that way. We see ourselves with all the faults and problems and Adamic natures and old man natures and all of that. But when Jesus died on the cross, you were there. You died too with him. And just as we were all in Adam when he sinned, God sees us all in Christ when he rose victorious from the dead. Every born-again person rose with him. And we could see this over in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, chapter 15. Let's go over there now, back there to 1 Corinthians 15 and read this. Hallelujah. 15:45 of 1 Corinthians. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is of the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Hallelujah. Isn't that good? We're bearing the image of the heavenly now. All right. So, God does not see us the way we see ourselves. That's number one. Let's look at number two. And this is a tough one, right? But let's look at it. So now we are the body of Christ, right? So we must be as much Christ as the head, even though we're not the head. See, that's the way Father God sees us, though, as one. He that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. And this is the way we must see ourselves. See, your head is part of your body and is identified as you or part of you, right? And Jesus, the head, is too also part of us and is identified as us, even though it is Christ. We are joined to him as one with him. Even though it is Christ, Jesus, we're still one with him. We're still one with him. Okay? Hallelujah. Are you one with him right now? Yeah, I'm one with him. And this thing still keeps coming up on here and trying to cut me out of the tonight's program. I don't know for sure if it's even being broadcast properly, but we're just going to believe that it is here and go ahead with this. And hallelujah. Yeah. All right. So using this same analogy, the head makes the decision and gives direction, and the body is supposed to follow the leading of the head. The body doesn't think for itself, because when it does, it gets itself in trouble, right? The legs say, well, I'm going to go this way, and the head says, no, go another way. Uh-oh, we have a problem, right? We're working against ourselves, and the body is not supposed to work against itself. It's supposed to work in union with the head and follow the head. What kind of body works against itself? See, it's not a proper body, right? So when it does work against itself, we're getting ourselves in trouble. So when you, or if you ever see yourself as God sees you, when you do, if you do, and you know you're made in his image, it'll not give you a superiority attitude. It'll not make you have that or a superiority complex, but rather, all complexes are going to be removed. Why? Because Jesus Christ doesn't have any complexes, folks. He's totally secure. Totally secure. No wonder we get insecure when we're separated from our head. I mean, that's reason to feel insecure and unloved, right? We need to stay connected to the head. Number three, recognize your death. Recognize your death. Colossians, go back to Colossians 2. Colossians 2. We look at verse 20. It says, wherefore, if you be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are you subject to ordinances? Touch not, taste not, handle not, which all are to perish with the using after the commandments and doctrines of men, which things have indeed a show of wisdom and will worship and humility and neglecting of the body, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh. Okay? Think about this one here for a minute. Okay? This should read, according to the Greek, since you are dead, instead of wherefore if you be dead, it should read, since you are, wherefore, since you are dead with Christ from the rudiments of this world, why, as though living in the world, are you subject to ordinances, touch not, taste not, handle not, which are all to perish with the using, after the commandments and doctrines of men? See, a lot of people caught up in the commandments and doctrines of men. See, reading it properly makes quite a difference, don't you see? Can you see that? I mean, he's telling us one sure way to get separated from the head is to go back living under the ordinances, commandments, and doctrines of men. That's right. We then get into religion, do's and don'ts, eat this, don't eat this, taste this, don't taste that, taste this, you know, touch this, don't touch that. I mean, look this way, don't look that way, cut your hair, don't cut your hair. On and on the list goes, and it'll take you nowhere. I'm telling you, take you nowhere. Go to Galatians 4. Read some more here. Galatians 4, verse 3. It says, even so, when we were children, we were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. See, we're sons now. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your heart, crying, Abba, Father. Yeah, he's in our heart right now. Because we're sons now. We're not separated because of the law. But we're in grace now. Sons, redeemed from the bondage of the elements of the world and the law. In verse 9 here. But now, after that ye have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage? So these things will be all the things man and the devil makes up, such as all the other religions and the legalism of the Christian religion and all deceiving doctrines, right? There's a lot of deceiving doctrines out there today. So a lot of Christians are listening to them, such as angel worship, saint worship, prayer to the saints, and prayer to Mary, exalted man worship, Earth Days, Mother Earth, and all this stuff, keeping the law, the holy days, the earth is holy, nature worship, seventh day, keeping a seventh day Sabbath, and all these other things that go on and on and on, which really have no benefit, according to what we just read here. No real benefit to changing you or making you like Christ Jesus. Let's go to Mark 7. Mark 7, verse 6. He answered and said unto them, well hath Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites, as it is written, this people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Oh man, there's a lot of people like that today, aren't they? Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandments of God, ye hold the traditions of men as the washing of pots and cups and many rather such like things ye do. And he said unto them, full well ye reject the commandment of God, that ye may keep your own tradition. Keeping your own tradition, huh? Okay. Making the word of God of no effect through your traditions which you have delivered, and many such like things you do. They do a whole lot of things like that, and they're not accomplishing anything for them, and it's still going on today. Churches, Christians have their own commandments. You get a lot of the head. It's not of the head, right? Or it's not of the word either. And Paul is saying, these things you're getting into might look like God, or look like wisdom, but they are not. They are not. They are not. He's trying to tell them some things, but they're not listening too well. And we try to tell people things today, and they don't seem to listen too well either. I know some do, and I thank God for those who listen, and that's what I'm here for, those who listen, because they'll receive things. But there's a lot who will not receive. Let's go back to Colossians. Let's read another verse there in Colossians chapter 2, verse 23. 2:23, which things have indeed a show of wisdom and will worship and humility, and the neglecting of the body, not in any honor to the sanctifying of the flesh, or the restraining. See, that word sanctifying means restraining. So they're not in any honor to the restraining of the flesh. Okay? This is number 4, will worship. We're going to talk about that for a minute. But number 4, it's something that a lot of people get snared with today. Okay, so we need to understand these things. And so number 4, we need to understand by will worship. That is the worship out of one's own head. A show of wisdom prescribed by oneself. But it's not necessarily God's wisdom. And John 1:12 and 1:13 says, John 1:12-13 says that we are born not of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. See, he's the head. Man is always devised up some way to explain and worship God. A lot of people are sincere in their beliefs too, but they're sincerely wrong. And until we can admit some areas that we're sincerely wrong, we're not going to get out of those areas, see? And God would have us to grow today. God would have us to mature in him. God would have us to grow up into Christ, who is the head, right? So we can manifest the head. But a lot of people just don't want to do that because they have their own ideas about the things that their flesh has given them. Their own interpretations of things, that they live by their own interpretations, and their interpretations are not necessarily biblical. Or it's a twisting of the biblical thing. Right? That's right. So, hey, if anything you're doing is not being done God's ways, then it's the wrong way. Okay? I mean, really, that's tough to hear, but it's true. If we're doing something that's not God's way, then we're doing it wrong. I mean, do you go out and just figure out your way to put money in the bank, your way that you want to pay taxes, your way that you want to vote, your way that you want to drive your car? Well, I want to go 150 today down as fast as this thing will take me. Why don't you do that? Well, because, you know, your way would not be effective, right? So why does man think that he can figure out a better way to do things than Jesus? Why does he think that? Because really, there's no better way than what the way of the Lord. No better way than the way of the Lord. We've all tried to come up with our own ideas on things, and that's what we have today. Every man being a law to their own selves, see. But then there are people out there that are not going to let you be that. Okay, they're going to want to enforce their laws upon you, their ways upon you. Even if they're anti-Christ ways, they're going to attempt to do that in the days ahead, if they can get away with it, right? Oh, yeah. That's what the plan is, and we can expect that to take place in the days ahead. But anyway, it may not, so we're going to pray against it. But anyway, number five, another way not to... heed and hold the head is neglecting the body. What does that mean? Neglecting the body really means hard treatment of the body. Now, how many people do that? I mean, many people are doing this today. When they do bad or they sin, they try to hurt themselves one way or another, either mentally or physically, emotionally. Self-flagellation. Self-flagellation. That's right. They self-flagellate themselves. Whipping oneself is considered a way to bring the body under control and subdue the appetite. In other words, hard treatment is of no value to remedy the indulgences and sins of the flesh. You can try all kinds of things to do it yourself, but I tell you, unless you do it by the way of God and by the power of God, you're not going to be victorious most of the time. In fact, if you do this to yourself, then you will pick up devils. In fact, you could pick up self-abuse being one of them. I mean, you just abuse yourself. Some people are self-abusive because of their sins. They self-flagellate. They self-punish themselves. Hey, Jesus bore the punishment on the cross. You don't have to bear the punishment for what Jesus already bore for you now. You don't have to punish yourself. Oh, I deserve it. I deserve it. Well, yeah, you did, but Jesus took it for you. So you don't have to just do this self-abusive thing to yourself because, hey, Jesus already took your punishment for you. You don't have to go back on it. See, all the man-made doctrines that says, eat this, don't eat that, wear this, don't wear that, do this, don't do that, are of no value in correcting what is in the flesh. What is in the flesh is sin and demons. The Bible says that in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. And the only thing that can deal with sin and demons is Jesus Christ and the authority of Jesus' name and the blood of Jesus. Yeah, that's what's going to deal with it. We think we're going to self-abuse, self-flagellate? I mean, come on. It's of no value to the restraining of the flesh. It's of no value. No value. Did you hear, you not hear that? Paul said in Romans 7, "Oh, sinful man that I am, I do what I don't want to do. Who can deliver me from myself?" Well, he said, Jesus. Jesus, he said, staying connected and depending on the head. And if you try to will sin out of your mind, all you're doing is deceiving yourself. In the end, you'll be right back to nowhere. And that's where many stay too. Nowhere, going nowhere. That's where a lot of people stay in their life, because they're trying to do things the unbiblical way. And they think it's biblical because they're living under the old covenant. They're living under a dead covenant. It's no longer the covenant that God has given us. It's a new covenant. The old has faded away. You need the head, Jesus. He alone can change each one of us. And only when we recognize him as the head. No, politicians are not the head. They cannot save you. They can't do it, okay? Only Jesus, who can direct the steps of man, even of a nation, he can save us. Remember, the end of this ungodly world system has to come sometime. And the tribulation has to come sometime. So it's time we start staying connected to the head. Okay, because really, if we don't learn to stay connected now, what would happen when you're in the middle of the tribulation? How are you going to stay connected to him to get through all that? See? Because it'll be time like no other that we've never seen, folks. And some of you are just not dealing well with things that are happening in this world right now. And could it be maybe because you're too much in this world? Too many Christians, they live like this world is truly their home. It is not our home. Not the world system that we live in now. The Bible says we are strangers, pilgrims, and sojourners here in this world. So we should remember that. It says this world is not our home. So we should live with an ever-increasing awareness that this demonic world system of Satan is not our home. Is not our home. We need to live with that knowledge, with that understanding that this demonic world system of Satan is not our home, and we have our focus on life beyond this world. I mean, this world is too much to too many Christians. It just means too much to them. Humans tend to live like they're going to be here forever. And yet, we ignore the scripture. I mean, people don't like to talk about it, but everybody's going to die, folks. If Jesus doesn't come first, every one of us is going to die. But there'll be some. There'll be a generation that's here. There'll be people that are here when the coming of the Lord takes place. It might be us. So, we got to wake up to this and get our affections where they belong. Set your affection on things above, it says in the Bible. Yeah. And the world says, oh, life here is, the word says, life is a vapor. Life here on earth is a vapor. How long does a vapor last? None of us want to die. I realize that. I don't want to die. But the real way to life is death. How many of you fear death today? Paul said to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. That's a pretty powerful statement, folks. I mean, that's a big wow. I mean, to be absent from the body, present with Jesus. What do we have to fear? Paul said that. The word also says that, oh, death, where is thy sting? Precious in the eyes of the Lord is the death of his saints. Hey, we could look up all these scriptures, but that would take a lot of time to do that. But you should know these kind of scriptures. You should know the security of your relationship with the Lord and not have to fear death. I mean, if people fear death, then how will we prevail to the end? I think a fear of death is more a fear of the unknown. But we know it by faith. If we'll believe what God tells us about dying and going to the other side, is to be with him. See? And it's appointed if a man wants to die. But after that, going to be all right for those of us who know the Lord. But those who don't, then I wouldn't want to be in their shoes, right? People that have so much hate and evil in them, people that do adrenochrome and things like this, how, oh my, they've got a horrible future ahead of them. They may think they're on top of the world right now. Yeah, on top of the devil, not on top of, no, he's actually on top of them, but because you don't get on top of the devil if you belong to the devil. He's always going to be over the people that follow him and control them. He's going to have the upper hand over them because they belong to him. They've given themselves over to evil, to darkness. They have a lot of good end awaiting them. It's going to be pretty tragic for what happened to them people, those people. Yeah, I wouldn't want to be in there too. I wouldn't want to be one of them. But I would pray that they would wake up and come to know Jesus. Anyway, listen, we are starting a new year. Would it be good for you if you would start it by reading more scripture than you did last year? Yeah, by developing a habit of reading and dwelling and meditating and thinking on the Word of God every day for at least, I mean, at the bare minimum, 10 to 15 minutes if you're not always already doing that, or even more if you're already doing 10 to 15 minutes, try to, excuse me, increase it a little bit. I know the devil won't like it, but you'll be blessed and you'll grow from it, and it really doesn't matter that the devil don't like it. We just rebuke him in Jesus' name and keep on going forward in Christ Jesus. Okay? You'll be blessed. You just have to make a decision and a commitment to do so, and then trust Jesus for the grace to do that and live it out. Because demons are definitely going to try to distract God's people from the Word of God, from reading it, from feeding on it, from eating the words of life, from meditating on it, dwelling on it, thinking on it day and night. Amen. They're going to try their best to get you distracted from that. You know that it is a spiritual battle that we are engaged in today. This isn't a spiritual battle just to get the show going tonight, right? Seems like there was resistance there. Something new that I've never dealt with before on here. Why did it suddenly start that? And it still keeps coming up trying to distract me. But you know, evil spirits want each of us under the control of our remaining demons. And everybody has some remaining demons because, yeah, the unholy inhabitants still in each of us. We all have some. Nobody's totally delivered yet. You know that. We're all in the process of being delivered. Deliverance is a progressive. It is progressive, and we all still need more of it, including myself. I've never met anyone who didn't have devils, nor have I ever met anyone totally delivered of all devils. Because if we were totally delivered of all devils, we wouldn't have any sins. And so we should live in a state of progressive deliverance and progressive revelation of truth. So we, you know, I'm not that we're going to get deliverance every single day, but we should live in a place where we're subjecting ourselves to get more deliverance. We're not just subjecting ourselves, but we are allowing ourselves. We're giving ourselves permission to be delivered on an ongoing basis as needed. See, as we're able to take more deliverance. See, sometimes people are just not ready to get certain things out of their lives. There's certain things in them that they're not out of agreement with yet. Certain things in them that they have not seen that they still have within them. So they're not going to get delivered from what they don't believe that they have. Or they don't think that they have. And they think they're okay in those areas when they're not okay in those areas. See, because, you know, people have their blind spot. People have an area that they just don't see what's really going on inside of them in certain areas. Yeah. So that's why it's progressive revelation also, because there's also progressive revelation of the truth of the scripture, progressive revelation of the truth of the demons that are in our life, because sometimes we're not ready to face certain ones and get them out. But then as we grow in the Lord more, we say a word, we grow in grace, we pray, we seek God, we stay connected to the head. Oh, God shows us something. Wow, I didn't know that. Wow, I've been blind for a long time now, not seeing that one. And we're ready to progressively move on to some more deliverance in that area that we did not see that we might have had a problem in. And pride is one of the big ones. I mean, we might think we've been delivered from pride, but I guarantee all of you that there's still some more pride in all of us that still need to go. Because it's progressive understanding of the pride that's in us. There's little pride, big pride, family pride, occupational pride, and money pride, and pride of achievements and accomplishments, and pride of look at me, look what I have, look what I could do, you know, pride of sexual pride, all kinds of pride. I mean, we could go on and on and on and name pride. You get the picture, though, right? So we all have some pride left. Religious pride. Yeah, spiritual pride. Heathen. Yeah. So we got to recognize that we're in a progressive walk. We're in a progressive deliverance. We're in progressive revelation. We're still learning more and more and more about the things of God and the grace, and we're still getting delivered more and more and more. We're living a life of spiritual progression. Spiritual progression. And it's a good thing that we are, because, listen, if we just quit growing right here where we are right now, we would be lacking so much. Now, listen, I've been a Christian a long, long time, see. I've been a Christian a long, long time, and you know what? I'm still growing. I'm still learning. It hasn't quit, and I don't believe it ever is going to quit till Jesus comes, right? And then we will know him as we are known, and we'll have understanding, even though we may still learn things for eternity. But still, the point is, right now, none of us have fully arrived. If we had fully arrived, don't you think God would translate us like he did Enoch and Elijah? And the Bible says Enoch walked with God, right? Genesis 5:24. Enoch, he walked with God, and then what happened? He was not, for God took him, it says here. That's right. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. He took him to be where he was. Elijah also was taken up to heaven, into heaven, into the third heaven. Yeah. But none of us are walking that way, are we? So we need to embrace a progressive walk in 2021, because we are growing, we are changing, we are being delivered, and we're partaking of more of Jesus. And there's plenty more for all of us to have. Plenty more. God has a lot more for you and for me. Right? A whole lot more. So let's just keep on walking and keep on keeping our eyes on the prize that is set before us, and keep on focusing on our eternity ahead of us, okay? Because we know that when we keep the eye on the prize, we're going to keep on running the race that is set before us, and we're not going to get distracted by the things of this world, because our joy is not in this world. Our prize is not in this world, nor is it of this world, because we're not of our Father. Of the father, the devil, that Jesus said, you're of your father, the devil. Well, he's not my father, right? Oh, yeah. So another very important thing to move forward, we also need to be able to walk in progressive forgiveness. That's right, progressive forgiveness. Part of life is learning to forgive and to keep forgiving until Jesus comes. Right, if my brother sins against me 70 times, 7 in one day, speaking of just unlimited time, how many times should I forgive him? You know, who was it that asked that question? And Jesus said 70 times 7, right? 70 times 7 in one day, that's just unlimited time. You just got to forgive. If you've been done wrong, forgive. Doesn't mean that you have to make them your best friend. It doesn't mean that you have to live with them. It doesn't mean you have to move in with them, unless you're, of course, married to them. It doesn't mean all that. What it means is you have to forgive them. It's simply that. Okay? Doesn't mean that you have to be business partners with them or join yourself together with them. Just forgive. Okay? Oh, yeah, you've got to learn to forgive. If you If you ever stop forgiving, your spiritual growth will stagnate and come to a stop. And we don't want our growth to come to a stop. We want to say, move me forward, Lord. Change me, mold me, make me, deliver me, teach me, and use me. That should be our prayer. Move me forward, Lord, this year, 2021. Change me in 2021. Mold me in 2021. Make me 2021. Deliver me, Lord. Teach me and use me. Oh, yeah. That should be our heart cry. That should be, oh, Lord, give me this, give me that, give me $1 million, give me that. Yeah, come on. You know, where's your real focus? I mean, seek first the kingdom of God, and all the other things will be added. You need a house, a car, a money, a land, a bill pay, whatever. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All those other things are going to be made manifest to you. They'll be added unto you. But if you're seeking the wrong thing, if you're seeking the money, or you're seeking the stuff, or you're just seeking the job instead of seeking the kingdom, seek first the kingdom, and then the other things can be had. You got to get your priorities right in life. You got to have your way of thinking right in life. Yes, Jesus is the head. We're the body. And some of the people of God are hopeless today. And some are miserable today. Why is that? Well, they're not holding to the head. They're not holding to the head. We've got to hold to the head. We've got to learn to hold to the head. The head is Christ Jesus. And we gotta learn to hold to him. We've got to learn to trust in him with all of our heart. Quit leaning on our own understanding. Quit leaning on our own way. Our own way will fail us. But the way of the Lord never fails. Never fails. Oh, man, you might go through some difficulty. You might go through some tribulations, the persecution. The way of the Lord doesn't fail. The way of God. You know that. Yeah, you know, one thing that really amazes me about the body of Christ today, that so many Christians are perpetually learning but never seem to be able to apply what they learn either. I mean, they buy books, they buy CDs, they buy notebooks, they buy all these things, and they're ever learning, but they do little with what they learn. It becomes head knowledge but not activated by action. Faith without works or action is dead, right? They do little with what they learn. Surely it's better to know a little and put it into practice than to know a whole lot than use none of it, right? Amen. Amen. Come on now. You know, it's time the people of God start using some of the knowledge that we have. You know, one area we should use knowledge is in finances, too. How many of you want to get ahead and stay ahead? How many of you want to stay poor? A lot of people must want to stay poor because they don't apply biblical finances in their life. Right? A lot of people are confused about what is our role and what is God's role in blessing in our finances. We need to do the possible and God does the impossible. This is a biblical principle for many areas, not just finances. You know, God, he usually takes what a person has and multiplies it. Remember, he took the rod that Moses had and he used it for mighty things. But he took what he had and he multiplied its usage. Right? In the feeding of the 5,000, what happened there? What do you have? Jesus took what they had and blessed it and multiplied it and fed 5,000 plus the women and children. So it must have been at least 10,000. Yeah, isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? Remember the widow about to lose her son as a slave? All she had left in her home was a jar of oil. And when she said, there are no more. It quit flowing. What happened? The man of God said, just make me a cake. And then you'd be okay. And then go borrow go borrow some jars and start filling them and sell them. And you'll have more than enough. And she did. Look at manna. Even a manna came at the cost of personal effort. They had to go out there and gather, right? I'm sure God could have caused the manna to simply appear on their plate at dinner time, but he didn't do that, did he? He said go out and get that manna every day except for Saturday, right? So they cooperated, and they had an act of faith of the people to get up and go get their manna, right, so they could have food to eat. But if they hadn't got up off their rear end and went out there and got the manna, what would have happened? They would have ate, would they? Yeah. He actually blessed Israel with as much food as they cared to bend down and pick up and gather in. You know? But there was no gathering enough manna for a month and then going and relaxing in an easy chair and watching wilderness TV. There wasn't any of that, was there? Every day they had to get up and get it, go out and pick up what God had provided for them. You know, there's something to be said about that. Every day we have to walk by faith, people, and stay connected to the head and receive from the head and receive what he's got for us that day. Every day is a walk of faith. You can't just store up on one day what you're going to do for the whole week. It's a walk of faith every day, my friend. Every day. Every day they had to get up, go out and pick up what God had promised and provided for them out there. They had to go receive it by faith. If they didn't get up, it wasn't just going to rain on their plate. God wasn't just going to pour it out on their plate. They had to go get up and receive it from heaven. Out there on the ground, it was there. They just had to receive it for themselves, and then they'd put it on their plate. I wonder if any said, well, hey, this can't be from God. We're having to work for this. We have to go out and pick up this manna. Let's just sit back and wait on him some more till he really provides for us and pours it out on our plate. Do you think any of them did that? You know, many Christians do that today. You know, we see a way that we could increase and be provided for, but we dismiss it as not of God or worldly because it involves a little bit of stepping out in faith, a little bit of action, a little plan and a little effort on our part, a little stepping out in faith into the unknown realm. The unknown realm of God, which is not unknown to God. This might be unknown to us, but hey, it's the supernatural realm of God's provision. Whether it be for healing, whether it be for finances, whether it be for saving of a loved one, whatever it may be. See? Whatever it may be. My brothers and sisters, we reject God's opportunity of blessing in favor of waiting for God to just drop something out of heaven. Just drop something out of heaven. Hey, manna was a miraculous provision, folks. I mean, the quail was too. But it wasn't piled up neatly on their plate. So all they had to do was lift their fork. I wonder if they wanted God to put it in their mouth too. He might as well just hook them up, do a line from heaven and feed them that way, right? No, thank you. They had to go out and bend and lift and work and pick up what God had given them and receive it. You know, God's provision often goes unreceived because it doesn't always come the way that we expect it to come. Think about that ever? God's provision often goes unreceived because it's not just laid in our lap or something the way we think it should be. Instead, we have to go receive it. Right? Well, something wrong there. The Bible says the laborer is worthy of his hire, not the lazier is worthy of their hire. Right? Bible says something here too about 3:10 here in Thessalonians. I mean, 3:10 says, even when we were with you, this we commanded you that if any would not work, neither should he eat. Huh? I mean, he will do his part if we do ours. That our part is to receive from heaven. Receive and stay connected to the head. Stay hooked up to Jesus, folks. In this life, we have to be connected to him. We don't even know what's next, what's going to happen, anything, if we're not connected up to him. But, you know, he'll show you things to come. He'll lead you. He'll guide you. He'll direct your life. He'll give you words about the future. He'll give you scripture that will lead you into the pathway of righteousness. He'll make it alive to you, and he'll make it real to you, and he will show you the way in which you should walk. See, I would hear a word behind me say, this is the way, walk ye in it. He will grant supernatural opportunity, but we're going to have to seize them. We're going to have to grab a hold of them. The violent take the kingdom by force. We have to grab hold of these spiritual opportunities. We just can't sit back and say, well, this is going to happen, this is going to happen, this happened, this happened. I'm not doing nothing but sitting right here till it does. No. Now, that may be time you're going to sit for a while. You're going to intercede. You're going to do spiritual warfare. But you're still getting involved in your receiving of what's going to happen. See, Jesus wants you involved in it. Even though he does it ultimately, we must seize the supernatural opportunity and work them and put the receiving out to gather them in. He gives us the power, the Bible says, he gives you the power to get well. This requires that we do something, and is very different from simply opening heaven and raining money into your living room or raining a blessing into your living room. So ask God to show you where the manna is. Sometimes you don't get the manna because you don't know where it is. Ask God to lead you to the manna. Ask God to lead you to his provision. Ask God to lead you to his direction. Ask God to lead you into his supernatural provision for your life and the supernatural miracles of healing, signs, and wonders. Healing, signs, and wonders. You know, even praying in tongues, God doesn't do that for you. You have to open your mouth. See, I open my mouth. I make the noise. See, some people never pray in tongues because they won't ever open their mouth and start to do it. See, you know, as I prayed before on air for people to receive, maybe that's what we need to do tonight. That you need to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You need to receive it. So we'll just pray, and you pray with me. Just say, Father, ask me. Just ask, Father, Father, in Jesus' name, I ask you to baptize me with the Holy Spirit today and give me my prayer language. And I just receive it in the name of Jesus. And Father, I pray for these people that are asking and have not received to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit with their prayer language right now in the name of Jesus right now. Baptize them with the Holy Spirit. And thank you for filling them to overflowing right now. In Jesus' name, thank you for it, Lord. Now I'm going to open my mouth and begin to speak in tongues. So you got to open up your mouth. And you just open it up wide and he will fill it. But you have to make the noise. God is going to make the noise for you. See? So I'm going to, don't speak in English. Just begin to open your mouth and pray with me. Come on, open your mouth. He'll fill it. He'll form the word, but you have to make the noise. You have to open wide your lips, and he will fill it. Allah bokus rabokri shikite be shomarato tutorate. Lipo shomarato de de mon bokton do rabokura. Nebede de shomarato rabokura, but sando do de be shikura da la maston da rebede de de cho. Zimbe filba monti venedi mochukura. Just come on, just open your mouth. Fill them up, Lord. They're overflowing tonight. Nandi be shokalamaraji. You know, I was just praying in tongues this week, and I was praying for these things going on in the nation, and God's given me all kinds of different tongues, and I've had lots of different tongues over the years, but he's given me different tongues I've never even had before that day, as I was just praying and interceding for this nation. And sometimes you don't know how to pray. You need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. This promise, the Bible says, is for you, your children, and all that are far off. Well, we are the ones that are far off from those early church days. But it's for us, and we need that. And we need to be praying in spirit. Come on, let's do it some more now. Just open up your mouth. You've asked the Lord to baptize you in the Holy Spirit. Now just open up and receive your prayer language, because that comes with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You get to be blessed with your own prayer language. That it says, what shall we do? We will pray in the Spirit, and we will pray with the understanding. We will sing in the Spirit. We will sing with the understanding. In other words, sing in tongues, speak in English, or whatever your native language is. speak in tongues, speak in English, or whatever your native language is. So let's pray some more and receive this and let it get established. And you just open up your mouth, begin to speak out. Libo morubo, vrevede shita. Come on, just open up your mouth. It may not sound like mine, but it doesn't matter. Maybe you just get a few words to start. But the more you speak them, as fast as you can open your mouth, it's going to come out. Just as fast as you can. Just begin to think. Don't think about it. Just speak and don't think about it, because you've got to bypass your mind, because out of your spirit, is coming out of your belly, your spirit shall flow rivers of living water. Father, fill them up. Fill them to overflowing in the name of Jesus right now. We are speaking in the languages of men and of angels, the Bible says. Lord, all about speaking mysteries in the spirit, also it says. We are praising and worshiping God. We're doing warfare tongues. We can go into the warfare mode of tongues. We don't know how to war sometimes. We do what we know to do, but then we can pray in the spirit. Yeah, we could go into war in the spirit, and the angels will go into action because we have prayed in accordance with the Holy Spirit. See, and when we're praying in tongues, we are praying the will of God. We're praying according to the Spirit of God, because the Spirit of God gives the utterance. You understand that? I don't give the utterance, but I make the noise and He forms the words. See, so if I don't make the noise, I'm not going to speak in tongues. Okay? You have to open up your mouth. You have to open it up. He said, open wide your lips. I will fill it. So let Him fill it. Come on, lift your cup up. I'll fill you up. See? Yeah. I believe it came up for a reason tonight. Some God wants to baptize somebody with the Holy Spirit. I believe He's done it and He's doing it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So ask God to show you where the man is. Ask God to show you where the filling is. And then head that way, see? How do I head that way? Well, you open up your mouth, see? In this particular thing that we're doing right now, we're receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit right now in power. He said, wait in Jerusalem till you be baptized in the Holy Spirit, right? And then go ye out to the four corners of the earth and witness and be my witnesses, right? You need the power. You need the power in the days that we're living in today. We need the power of the Holy Spirit in us. We need the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Yes, you have the Holy Spirit because you're born again, but there's more to have than just the born-again experience. There's the baptism of the Spirit that you need as well. We're baptized in water, but we also need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Amen. And we also need to be baptized with fire, the Holy Spirit and fire, the cleansing, the purging. That takes place also. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The blessings are laid up out there. Go get them. Amen. Discover what talent that God has given you and go use it. And by His strength, by his ability, not by your own. Amen. Amen. We're going to do some deliverance here for a little bit tonight also. So we're not going to have an intermission tonight because we've had so much interruption. We've only been able to do an hour and a half program here tonight, but that's better than not doing a program at all. The devil tried to keep me from even having one at all, but he was not successful. Jesus gave me the knowledge to get things worked around here to get it where we could broadcast today. So praise Jesus for that. Now we're going to, amen. You want to pray some more in the spirit before we do some deliverance? Open your mouth. Come on. Don't think about what you're saying. The devil will tell you it's gibberish, it's nonsense, it's nothing. You know, the mind gets in the way of the things of the spirit. Recognize that. Rebuke that mind. Tell that mind you're speaking up out of your spirit, and you're not going to worry what the mind says. you're concerned with what's going on in your spirit, just let it flow up out of your spirit, up out of your belly, up out of your belly, right? The Bible says, shall flow. Come on, just pray. Open wide your lips. He's going to fill it up. Just open and make that noise. Let him form those words as fast as you could open your mouth. It's going to come out. Be filled in Jesus' name. Be filled. Be baptized in the Holy Spirit right now in Jesus' name. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. What does the Bible say when you pray in tongues? You edify yourself. You build yourself up in the Holy Ghost. You build yourself up in the Spirit. When you pray in tongues, you're self-edifying. It's building you up. Edifying means built up. When you're praying, then you're building up. You're building up. You're building up your spiritual life. You're building up your spiritual strength. And you're edifying yourself. You're being built up. So see why it's so important that you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You speak in your prayer language and you let God do what he wants to do inside of you. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Father God. We bless your name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You can praise him in English, but then you got to just step over into the Spirit. Begin to worship him in spirit and speak out in your prayer language and pray things that you don't even know what you're praying sometimes. And sometimes God will give you an interpretation, but it doesn't always do that. It's an occasional thing. If you ask, he may give it to you. Hallelujah. All right, let's do some deliverance here before we run out of time. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for filling people and using this throughout the week and beyond. Whenever people listen to this broadcast, let them be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Whenever they listen to this particular program and they have not received, let them be baptized, Father. We pray for the individual who will listen later and be baptized in the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I know the devil didn't want us doing that tonight. But hallelujah, the devil is a defeated foe. He's acting like he's a winner when he's a loser. He's definitely a loser, though. Thank you, Jesus, for delivering people tonight, right now. We come against these spirits in Jesus' name. We just break the curse of divorce over your life right now. If you've ever been divorced, we cancel that spirit of divorce over you. Any guilt that comes with that, any kind of condemnation of the enemy, we rebuke that in Jesus' name and command that spirit of divorce to go right now. If you've asked the Lord to forgive you, it's forgiven and he's forgotten it. So let's get the demons out. You don't have to be tormented by those spirits. Any kind of condemnation or guilt over that, come out. But now, all that divorce spirit, come out, 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 come out. And divorces are not easy, so we break any trauma from the divorce, any kind of terrible anxiety that came from the divorce, any kind of stress that came in from the divorce, come out, come out. All these spirits of trauma, come out, trauma, divorce trauma, come out, come out, come out, come out. Divorce trauma in the name of Jesus right now. You loose them and let them go. That divorce trauma, go, 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 go. Go in Jesus' name. Go all the way out. All that divorce trauma, move in the name of Jesus. The Lord rebuke you. I rebuke you. Come out. Come all the way out. Up and out. All that divorce trauma, come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come all the way out. All the way out in the name of Jesus right now. We rebuke you. The Lord rebuke you. Come out. All that trauma from relationships, come out. The trauma from different relationships, whether you were married or divorced, but nothing at all, come out. All that trauma, come out. All that trauma, all the way out. All that trauma, come on. All the way up out of there. All that defilement, all that uncleanness, come out. All that shame, come out. Come out, come out, shame, come out, shame, come out, In Jesus' name, go, 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 go. Out, 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 out. All the way out. All that worthlessness, feeling worthless, feeling second class. We command that worthless spirit to go. In the name of Jesus, come out. That worthless spirit, feeling worthless, the sense of worthlessness, come out. 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 All the way out. All that feeling of defilement, feeling like you've been defiled, all that defilement. And maybe you were defiled. Maybe you were sexually abused. Maybe something happened that defiled you. We break that curse of the defilement and command that defilement to come out. Come out in Jesus' name. Come all the way out. All the way out. All that defilement, go in the name of Jesus right now. All that spirit of defilement, all the way out. All that spirit of hatred, come out. Spirit of hatred, spirit of murder, hating and murder, you come out. All the way out. All the way out. All that hate, all that spirit of murder, I bind you. All that hostility, come out. That spirit of hostility, come out. Come out. Who are you hostile toward? Well, we should be hostile toward the devil, but that's it. Right? Come out. All that hostility, come out. 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 All that rage, come out. Spirit of rage, spirit of rage, come out. Rage, all that rage, you have to go in Jesus' name. That raging spirit, come out. Come out. That vengeful spirit, revenge, come out. Come out. Come out. Revenge, all the way out. All that revenge, revenge. I will say, vengeance is mine. I will repay. I'd hate to be in the shoes of those who he's going to repay and bring vengeance on. Come out of there, all the way out. All that revenge spirit that gets you to make you want to take revenge on somebody. Come out, all the way out, all the way out. Go in Jesus' name. All that revenge, you have to go. Spirit of revenge, come out of there, all the way out, all the way out, all the way up and out in Jesus' name. All that revenge. In Jesus' name, I rebuke you. Come out. Come out, revenge. Come out, unbelief. Right now, unbelief. I don't believe you can receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Come out. But anyone that didn't receive, we command that unbelief to go. That unbelief that waits for God to zap you and make you have it. Remember what I said. You have to go receive it. You can't just sit there and wait for it to fall in your lap. You have to go receive the Holy Spirit. You have to receive him. You have to begin to receive, to open yourself to him and let him fill you. For that unbelief, you have to go. All that unbelief spirit, you come out right now. Go, go, go. In other areas where you haven't been able to believe him, you come out right now. Go, that unbelieving spirit, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out in Jesus' name. All the way out, all that unbelief, you have to go. All that unbelief in Jesus' name. Come out, come out, come out now. All the way out, all the way I'm out of there. Unbelieving spirit, can't believe you can receive certain things from God. Come out of there, all the way out. The blood of Jesus is against you right now. The blood of Jesus. Come out now, all the way out, all the way out, all the way up out of there. Go in the name of Jesus Christ right now. We rebuke you. We command you to go up out of there in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. All the way out, all the way out. The spirit of being easily wounded, that's so overly sensitive spirit, that oversensitivity, come out. Come out. This is easily wounded. Certain things are said, and oh, you're wounded again. Here I go again. I'm wounded. I'm wounded. Come out of there right now. Go in Jesus' name. Go, 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 go. Come out. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. Go, 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 go. Come all the way out. All the way out. The blood of Jesus. You have to go. Come out of it. Oversensitive. Come on. That oversensitive male ego or that oversensitive female emotion, come out. Come out of there, all the way out. Go, go, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out, come out, up and out, all the way in the name of Jesus. Go, 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 out, 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 all the way out, all the way up out of there. Go, go in Jesus' name. Go in Jesus' name. Go, go, being bullheaded. You know, you just stubborn and bullheaded. Come out. We break that curse over you. Inherited curses. Generational curses of bullheadedness. Come out. Come out now. All the way out. All the way up out of there in the name of Jesus Christ. All that bullheadedness. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come on out. All the way. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Come out now. All the way out. Bullheadedness. Come out. 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 Come on all the way out. All the way out. All the way out. Jesus' name. Go. Go. Profanity. You come out. All that profanity. Come out now. Profanity. Spirit of profanity. Profanity. You have to go. You have to go all the way out. All the way out. The enemy's trying to get a lot of people to speak profanity lately because of all that's going on out there in the world, to get mad about it and stuff. But hey, we rebuke that. We don't need to indulge in that at all, none of it. So you come out of it, all that profanity. Go, 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 go. Come out. Come out. Let no corrupt communication come out of your mouth. So we rebuke the spirit of profanity, spirit of corrupt communication. Come out. Come out, 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 cussing, cursing, come out, come out, come out, in the name of Jesus right now. Come out, 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 come out. Yeah, some Christians, they got foul tongues. They even curse around other Christians because they just don't have control over it. They've done it for so long, and they just they picked up the devil of profanity and cursing and cussing, and they just they foul mouth. They're foul mouth, and they just given place to it. And it really don't matter who's around them because they picked up these spirits. Okay, and we have to go. Come out of it. All that foul mouth spirit, come out, come out. All that unclean tongue, come out, come out, come out, come out. In the name of Jesus, we rebuke you. I rebuke you. Come out. All the way out, the name of Jesus Christ, the blood of Jesus, the name of Jesus. You have to be obedient and come out, demon. You're subject to us. You're subject to me. You have to obey. Come out. 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 Come out of there. Come out of there. We rebuke these demons right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Come out of there. Come out of there. Go. 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 All the way out. All the way out. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name, go all the way. Ethnic pride, you come out. Your ethnicity, you're proud of it. Come out. All that ethnic pride. Ethnic pride, come out. Come out. Come out. All the way out. All the way out. Go in the name of Jesus. Go, go, go. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Come out. Come out. Ethnic pride. Ethnic pride. Let it go all the way. All the way out, all the way up out of there. Ethnic pride, come out. Come out of there. Come out, in Jesus' name. Go, 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 go. All the way out, all the way out. We break that generational ethnic pride, in Jesus' name. Go, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, that spirit of exaggeration, you come out. Exaggerating things to look better in other people's eyes, to look more important. All that spirit of exaggeration, go, and tale-telling, tall tale-telling. Oh, the fish was 3 foot long, and it was only 6 inches. Come out of it, all the way out. Go, all that tall tale-telling and exaggeration, come out. We rebuke those spirits, come out. Come out in the name of Jesus right now. Come out in the name of Jesus, go. All those exaggeration spirits, you have to go. Tall tales. Come out, 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 boasting, come out, 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 come all the way out, all the way out. Jesus' name, spirits that block circulation in the body, you come out. Those spirits that get in the circulatory system to block your circulation, you come out right now. Come out, come out, come out now, all the way out. Block circulation, come out. Come out, come out, come out. We just command all those spirits that are blocking the arteries, come out. Hardening of the arteries, come out. In Jesus' name, go, go, go. Blockages in your system, come out. Come out. Blockages in your veins. Come out of the vein, come out of it. All those spirits that are in the veins trying to block it and cause a circulatory system not to work well, come out. In Jesus' name, open those veins, Lord. Come out. Open those circulatory systems up. In the name of Jesus, open those hearts up in Jesus' name. Let the hearts remain strong. We command any demons lodged in hearts or circulatory systems through generational curses to come out. We break those generational curses. Generational curses of poor circulation, of diabetes, you come out of there, all the way out. We break those generational curses of diabetes right now. Come out. Come out in the name of Jesus right now. You loose them and let them go. All these generational curses of heart trouble, come out. Come out, 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 come out now, all the way out. All the way out. Circulatory problem. Generate those curses of circulatory problem. Come out. Come out of there. Blood clot. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Heart failure. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Heart attack. Come out. 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 All the way out. We break your power against people's hearts, against their circulatory system. Go in the name of Jesus Christ right now. Right now. All the way out, up and out, all the way out. In the name of Jesus, go, 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 go. Keep moving, all the way out, all the way up out of there. In the name of Jesus Christ, right now, you move, you move, you move, keep moving. In Jesus' name, you are defeated by the blood of Jesus. All these infirmities of the flesh, you have to go, you have to go right now. I rebuke you, the Lord rebuke you. Angels, chase and persecute these demons. Move them on out of there right now. In the name of Jesus, go all the way out, all the way out, all the way up out of there. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Go, 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 go. Go and keep going in Jesus' name. All the way, all the way, all the way. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. Father, we thank you for this deliverance and this program, albeit it was a short program, not as the usual. We only got an hour and a half. That's all it would let me do here. And since we couldn't get in right away, like because of this stuff going on, we thank you that we did get an hour and a half. And Lord, we thank you for feeling this deliverance. Thank you for people receiving the prayer language and the baptism of the Holy Spirit tonight. Thank you for working and in the days ahead as well. But thank you for working in our lives, Father. Thank you for taking us further and deeper in you. In Jesus' name, everybody say amen. All right, we'll be back next week. And now that we've got this figured out, we won't let it cut the program off. And we'll get things put up here and hopefully everything will be okay next week. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. All right, thanks for listening tonight. And we will see you again the following Friday after this one. God bless you. And bye-bye now. And appreciate you tuning in. And sorry about the problems we had here. Yeah, it was no fun, but yeah. Bye.
Neither give place, neither give place, neither give place to the devil. Neither give place, neither give place, neither give place to the devil. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Who is it? Steadfast in the faith. The devil.
Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour.
Who resists? Ah! Fast in the
faith. Submit yourself, therefore, to God.
Neither give praise to the devil.
Submit yourself, therefore, to God.
Neither give praise to the devil.
The devil
knows
that's what you thought.
All right. Yeah, resist the devil and he will flee. In Jesus' name. Don't give him any place. Amen. Good night. God bless. Bye-bye.